We're talking about giving our testimony, and this is one of the things that we're not sure how old this person was, but Jesus had healed him, and Jesus wanted to take off with the disciples across the lake, and what did Jesus tell them? Don't come with me this time. I want you to go home and tell your friends how great things the Lord has done for you. So what did he do? He went home, and he actually went to all the other cities around as well. And it says, and he told them, announced to them the great things that Jesus had done for him. And what was the conclusion? Everybody did what? They were amazed. They said, wow, maybe this is something that, maybe Jesus could do something like this for me. And so we're going to be talking about not my testimony, but your testimony today. Because God can open doors, and God will. And I get a chance to get up here. I'm going to go to a different microphone here. I get a chance to come up here and talk quite often. And so this is your opportunity to talk about what Jesus has done for you. And so I want to encourage you, you know, it's important when you give your testimony, you don't have to tell your whole life, you could tell your whole life story, but you don't want to make it too long. But you can just tell what Jesus has done this week for you, or how God has kept you safe from drowning in a boat in Florida. you know, so, things like that. And so this is an opportunity, and I asked a few people to help, so you can you can come up if you would like to, maybe in between. But I asked Conrad, I don't know if Conrad would be willing to come up, to tell how God has worked in his life. And so, he's coming. Thank you, Conrad.
Well, he just said I shouldn't do it from birth up, which is probably good. This morning, I would like to talk about something that is a testimony, but yet, it's just our life. And it happened to me. And I think it has a moment or two of humor. And you may not find it humorous, but I did. Everybody knows wherever I go, I'm not real bashful. It just doesn't happen that way. And I go to this particular place to have my hair cut. And this particular location, it's really hard to find that one person that cuts your hair that does what you want. And they have two people there that I really, for a long time, I always made sure that I went to them to get my hair cut. And one day they were busy when I went, and I was in a hurry, and there's this other lady there. And finally, you could tell she didn't want to cut my hair. Well, you know, I understand. But at the same time, she's getting paid, so why not cut my hair? And finally, she called me to her chair, and she said, "Sir, please be seated." And I did. And I did what I always do. I made small talk. I talked to her about how's her life going, and are there any problems that you're having? And she said, "I don't want to talk to you." That was pretty straightforward. And as she was cutting my hair, she's talking to the gal next to me, and I got a definite impression right off that she doesn't like men. Not because it was an impression, but because between her and the other lady, they talked about it the whole time she's cutting my hair. They can't stand men. Okay, I'm good with that. I just won't come and have you cut my hair next time. So the next time when I came, I made sure I got in one of the other chairs, and I got my hair cut. And the whole time I was getting my hair cut, I'm listening to her back there with that other lady, and they're just roasting us men. And I don't know, I think the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You know, when you come here to get your hair cut, you should really go have her cut your hair." And I said, "But Lord, I don't want to. She slaughtered my hair." I'm not kidding either. There wasn't anything you could do with it short of super glue. But it's good. I prayed about it. I really did. I prayed a lot about it. I said, "Lord, I don't want to go have her cut my hair again because it's bad." He said, "You have a hat." Yeah, I know I do. People don't recognize you when you wear the hat, so that's okay. I said, but I don't want to have her cut my hair. And that's the way I left it with him for several days, in fact, for several weeks, and I went way longer than I usually do because I didn't want to have her cut my hair. I went there to have my hair cut. You know who the only stylist in the place was? You guessed it. She was the only one there. And I walked in, and she looked at me, and she turned her back immediately. And in a moment or two, she came and she said, will you please come have a seat? Very terse. And it's been that way, and she's been cutting my hair now for about 5 or 6 months. And every time, she lets me know, in no uncertain terms, that she doesn't understand why I come to have my hair cut when she's the one. I didn't tell her that God was the one that really did that, and it wasn't me. And every time, deliberately, she will take one side of my hair, and she will slaughter it. I went out of there with hair that was only about 1/4 inch all up one side. The other side is still 3 inches long. It's kind of fun. Okay, I got to tell you about the last time I went in and got my hair cut. She didn't do a great job, I'm going to tell you that right away. But I didn't get the usual treatment. And through the whole time, she actually talked to me. No, don't misunderstand. We didn't have a conversation. But she talked to me. She didn't talk to the one next to us. She didn't talk derogatorily about my gender. But she talked to me. And when I went to pay, when I was leaving, she said, I'll see you next time. Now, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's nothing to do with me. I know it's all to do with God. So you want a testimony. If you don't think that God's working in your life, if you think there's nothing that you do that makes a difference, you go have your hair cut by somebody that ruins it. I only got 3 hairs anyway, so it doesn't take much to wreck it. God is really good. And I would like to have the opportunity to have her continue cutting my hair until maybe, you know, the Lord can rub off onto her, because that's what I would like. And I'm sure he'll let me be a witness there.
Looks not bad, doesn't he? She's improving.
It's been 3 weeks.
Oh. Well, that's haircut witnessing. I like that. All sorts of interesting ways. You know, we connect with people all over the city. And I don't know, maybe this isn't even in the city here. But people do things for us. Our mechanics work on our cars. Anybody have that problem? Hopefully it's not a problem. Mechanics work on our cars. We buy groceries at Walmart. It's becoming less personal. Now you have to do the self-serve, so you don't even have to talk to anybody. But, you know, there's 1,000 opportunities to mingle with people. You know, you go to a restaurant, you have somebody who serves you. All sorts of opportunities to be a witness. You don't have to tell them all about Jesus, but you can definitely treat them in a way that would lead them to say, this person's nicer than the average. What's going on here? So that's a testimony. You know, testimony, like I was saying, a testimony could be you can tell how God worked in your life whenever, when you were younger, how you strayed away from church and came back, how you never went to church and started coming, how God worked in your life to interest you to be reading his word. I mean, I never even had a Bible. I was brought up Jewish, but we didn't read the scriptures. We had a prayer book full of prayers written by rabbis. And so it wasn't, and it was all in Hebrew as well, so that didn't help because I didn't know Hebrew, kind of like Latin for a Catholic. But the Holy Spirit worked, and I was interested in reading a Bible, and I found a Bible, and I read it. And it makes all the difference. And that was for a kid who is a total selfish. Things have improved. But totally selfish and totally uninterested in anything. So I gave some other people an opportunity. Bob, you want to come up? Tell how God's been working in your life? Now, not while Bob's talking, don't think about it, but I'd like some other people to come up too. And so if you're thinking about what God would have you say, you can think about it a little bit, but not while Bob's talking. You want to listen to Bob.
Okay, so I just, a little bit about myself. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life, and I was baptized when I was 12, and I took a religion major in college, and so I've known about God forever, all my life, obviously, and last October, Kelly and I were on a trip, and we decided to recommit our lives to God, and that made a huge difference. When we recommitted our lives to God, it was just, I started to read more about God, and the more I read about God, the more I wanted to share with other people about God, and it was just, then I started asking for the Holy Spirit, and then eventually I read that part in Steps to Christ, like I shared with you guys when I passed out all those Steps to Christ. That when you surrender your will to God and choose to serve Him and ask for the Holy Spirit, God really changes your life. And when He did that, just as an example, last summer before I rededicated my life to God, I watched a whole bunch of drama on TV. And I like drama. I like drama TV. But since I've surrendered my life to God and asked for the Holy Spirit, God has changed my desires. So I no longer care to watch TV at all, and I only want to read God's Word and Ellen White's writings. We were at a sermon last week, and I liked the phrase the guy said. He calls her Auntie Ellen, which was a new way of thinking about Aunt, Ellen G. White, because sometimes people have a different opinion. But yeah, God has been so good to me, and I can tell you, just the more you read, the more you want to share. And prior to doing God changing my life at my work, when a patient would come in and if they look depressed or something like that, then I'd be impressed to give them like a Desire of Ages or something like that. But now I can tell people, after experiencing the change that God has made in my life, from going from not about Him to all about Him, you know, now I have experienced the power of God in my life. So when I see patients that come in and they're smoking or drinking or whatever they complain about, I can tell them about the power of God and how it's worked in my own life. And then I'll give them Steps to Christ. And it's just amazing to have that work. Stuff down, but
oh, okay. Bob's making it shorter today, which is okay. So, okay. Who would like to be brave and talk about an experience they had, how God has worked in your life? When you speak, talk, make sure the microphone's up to your mouth.
I will, but I might hit you with this. last week I had more than one customer, but we had two people in that. This was this young fella. He was an Assembly of God person. He drove by the store, and he said, "The Lord told me to stop here and talk to you. You need me." Okay, so he come in, and he didn't seem to agree that he should keep the... You should keep the Bible. He kept Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the days he kept. And I said, well, that's fine, but the Sabbath day is seventh day. And he says, no, I don't. It don't make any difference what day. Okay. Anyway, we visited a little bit, and I gave him the book, The Steps of Christ, and he left. Then another one man come in, an older man, and he says, I don't remember what we talked about, but anyway, the Lord come up in it, and I asked him, what was it? Anyway, something about the Sabbath, and we just visited a little bit, and I gave him the book, Doug Batchelor's seventh book about Sabbath, and he said, I'll bring it back, and I got a book I want to give you. So he came back yesterday. The book he gave me was one that this boy had died and was dead for 7 hours, and he came back to life and told his experience of meeting God. And I said, I'll read it. Well, the book he brought back to me, Doug's book, I don't think it had ever been opened, but he said he read it. So anyway, he had the chance, and I'm glad I had the chance to talk to some people. Thank you.
You know, you sow seed, and that's all you can do. Sometimes you don't think you're getting anywhere, but a lot of times if you're telling somebody about, you know, obviously you want to start by telling them about Jesus and about how he's changed your life. But if you get into discussing things with people about the Sabbath, about the state of the dead, which is fine, you just tell them what the scriptures teach. And I know people who have had 7 or 8 different people that they've connected with through the years. They got many long time in between. They said, yeah, I talked to one guy and he got my interest up, but I got distracted. And then I talked to another guy, and then I talked to another guy, and you're number 3. And then they had 3 or 4 other guys. And finally, they said, you know, I never thought about that, but I was doing my homework. And I said, this guy was right about either the Sabbath or the state of the dead or something. And then they end up in some church in Tennessee where you've never been, but the Holy Spirit had worked through you when you were in Oregon or Washington or wherever you were. You follow what I'm saying? And so sometimes we think we have to bring them all the way. But really, God doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to just take them one step at a time, one small step at a time sometimes. So anybody else have a story to tell about how God has worked through you or how God is blessing you or maybe a prayer? Come on up. Well, we'll get Mary first. Okay, Jim? She got her hand up about 1 millisecond before yours went up.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you about one of probably the fastest answers to prayer that I've ever received in my life. My husband and I have 2 children. My daughter, Leanna, and I think most of you know Mr. Lindsay, Jordan Lindsay over here. He's our oldest. And after they got done with college, and my daughter's the youngest, when she finished college and she was engaged to get married, my husband and I both independently just had this idea come into our heads, hey, we're not tied down anymore. We could go anywhere. And independently, we prayed to God and said, Lord, we're available to go anywhere. And this is the fast answer to prayer part. Like the next day, we got a call from Guam Adventist Academy. The principal called and said, would I come and be the music director at Guam Adventist Academy next year? And they would pay for us to come over. And they'd give us a place to live and a car to drive. So we talked about it, my husband and I, and prayed about it, and we decided, yeah, we'd like to do that. We'd like to give that a try. Now, I had taught music before. I had taught both classroom music and private lessons. But plus I was the director of a semi-professional music group. But this was all just, you know, kind of fun stuff that you fit into your life somehow, into your spare time. Now they wanted me to come and do it full time. And I thought, well, you know, I feel like God's asking me to do that. And so I think with his help, I can do it. And so we tried to figure out how to stop doing everything that we were doing so that we could leave and go somewhere else. And amazingly, that takes a lot of work. But somehow we managed it. And a friend of ours also gave us some funds unexpectedly, which helped a lot. And so we moved to Guam for 2 years, and I was the music director at Guam Adventist Academy, which is, so I taught music to preschool all the way through all the grades, kindergarten, first, second, on up, all the way through grade 12. And that's actually where I had my first bell choir, which was really fun. And I had, up to this point, I had been working at the Adventist Book Center. So this was quite a change for me. But I found out that I really enjoyed teaching all day long and that I enjoyed spending the whole day with all these kids, all these various ages of kids. And the Lord blessed us while we were there. I was asked to do a second job while I was there, as if being the music director at the academy wasn't enough. I was asked also to be the children's ministries director for Guam Micronesia Mission, which was, again, something I had done kind of on the side. In Washington Conference, I had been the children's ministries director. But the cool thing about being the children's ministries director in the Guam Micronesia Mission is that they paid to send me out to all the different island groups. Micronesia is as big from west to east as the United States is from west to east, about the same size. But these islands are all spread out with lots of the Pacific Ocean in between. You've probably heard of some of them. Island groups, Palau, Chuuk, places like that, Yap, the Marianas. Anyway, so when I was on break from school, the mission would send me out to all these different island groups to do Sabbath school workshops. And I was able to learn about a lot of different, I know these are all islands and they're all in Micronesia, but they're all different people groups. They have different languages, they have different customs. And so I really felt blessed by this, that the Lord would give us the opportunity to go out and meet all these people that are very friendly, learn about their customs and their way of life, and teach them a little bit about what they can do in Sabbath school. One of the things that the Lord gave me to teach them was to, some of them would come up to me and say, we'd like to be able to do some skits and drama, and they don't have anywhere to buy anything, and they really didn't have much money to buy anything, and the internet was there, but it was kind of, some of the islands, getting on the internet was tricky. And it would be really slow, and some of the islands it was non-existent. So most of them really didn't have good access to the internet. So the Lord gave me a way to show them how to do Bible skits from the Bible. And a lot of them, it's pretty easy, actually. There's some passages in the Bible that it's basically already a Bible skit. And like the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, it gives you the name of all the different people that said all these different things. And they were really, really excited about that. I had some people that really were happy when I came and taught them some new things they could do in Sabbath school and make their Sabbath schools better. Anyway, that's just a little bit about Guam and Micronesia. Then when I came back home, I realized that I had enjoyed so much being a full-time teacher that I decided to go back to college and get my teaching degree. And now, making a long story short, that's how I ended up here.
So you're still a missionary then? Is this a different type of mission field than other places? I don't know which one's easier. They're all a little different. Huh? Yep. Yep. So, Jim.
Well, this is just more of a story. I really enjoy giving out books. That's a lot of fun. My wife and I were traveling around Yellowstone in the late 1980s by bicycle. And so we went about 160 miles in about 4 or 5 days and met a lot of different people. And bike packing, you don't carry a lot when you have to carry your tent and food and clothes and cooking utensils and everything on your bicycle. You don't have a lot of room. So I took as many steps to Christ as I thought I could fit in my little pack. And we stopped at this one campground, which was designed for bikes and motorcycles, because there were small areas with no parking for vehicles. So we saw this motorcyclist come in the evening, set up his tent, and he was up and ate and was getting ready to go. We were eating breakfast at the time. I saw him just next door, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go give him a book. And I was just impressed, and so I went over there and was talking with him. He was already dressed, had his helmet on, and was sitting on his motorcycle when I went over there. Well, I was talking to him for a while, and he was very interested. I found out that he had recently been divorced from his wife, and he was pretty distressed, stressed and distressed, and was just taking a trip around the United States with his motorcycle just to kind of get his head clear. And I talked to him for a while and talked to him about God and gave him the book, told him a little bit about it. Pretty soon, my wife was watching from the other table. Pretty soon he had his helmet off and he was crying. He was wiping his eyes with his handkerchief and was very emotional. And I talked to him about God and I prayed with him and I felt really touched by his response, because I was just giving him a book, but yet he really responded. And I just prayed for the guy. I don't know what's happened to him since then. I hope he's read the book and come to Jesus and found the Lord. But I have many different stories like that where we've given out books and have very unique and interesting responses. So try that sometime.
Who would like to go next? It's always nice to get a variety of people up front here.
Well, I'm afraid to be up here, so I got nervous in my stomach. But I was thinking about when I became a person at the guest desk. And I just felt kind of uncomfortable, and especially talking to guests and that kind of thing. But I started to kind of work at that. And one day, I noticed a person that was a lady that looked like she was really sad. And for some reason, I just knew I had to go over and give her a hug. And she appreciated that so much, that somebody cared about her. And hence, that started me on hugging other people. And pretty soon, your heart starts opening up. You my fear of people, and I'm sure that none of you know this or even thought of it, but there are times when if I'm fearful of talking to someone new, but I'm getting over it, and it's because my heart has started opening because Jesus gave me that lady, and it's kind of snowballed, and I miss not having a guest desk to stand at where I can give people hugs, because a hearty handshake, or for the gentleman, a arm around them, their waist. But anyway, I think Jesus gave me that job so that I could help others or just make somebody feel better for the day. And I remember, I hope you don't mind, Norma, you came to church and you hadn't been there a long time and you wanted to come back. And it was a really hot day and you had walked to church and I thought, oh dear, you know, she's just, it's too hot for her to be walking back. And then Shirley came in. And I told her about Norma and kind of introduced him. And I said quietly to Shirley, this is what happens to me. That's why I get nervous. But anyway, Shirley, and I just asked her quietly, would you mind taking her home? And I think a great friendship has come from that. And I have on the back of my car a little bumper sticker. And it says, kindness matters. We've always heard about all the other matters, but kindness matters. And I was thinking about this week. In the middle of the week, they started moving our furniture back into our house. And I had at least 6 or 7 people asking questions of me constantly. I mean, it was nonstop. And I was getting more stressed and more stressed and more stressed. So I have to apologize to my husband because I told him, I said, if you ask me one more question. and he asks me too many questions anyway. But I realized then that I wasn't putting what I believed into practice by being kind. I fell apart. I mean, I was so stressed, I fell apart. And I think I might have yelled even. And so I have to ask God's forgiveness and my husband's forgiveness for that. But luckily, our furniture is now in our house. And we don't have to live in our bedroom anymore. And I just want to thank all of you who... You're my church family, and I love all of you. And I'm so happy that the Lord has opened my heart enough to recognize when someone else might need some extra love.
Wait a minute. I get a hug.
Oh.
Is there ministry in hugging? There is. Thank you for being willing to come up. And now Doug knows not to ask too many questions. Okay, well, we got a little bit more time. Is there anybody else brave enough? Jeannie?
When I was a little kid, on up till I don't know how far, quite a bit of my life, I was very, very shy and quiet. And the Lord's changing that, one of his miracles. Anyway, I thought of several stories as I was listening to other people, and I guess I'll tell one that's just a short one that happened here in Hermiston. I went down to Maurice's. You know, there's not a lot of choices of clothing here, and I never find much there that I really want. But I went down there one day sort of out of desperation looking for something I needed, and I got there, and it was time for the store to be open, but it was locked, you know, and I'm like, what's going on, you know, and I'm looking through the window and don't see anybody in there, but the lights are on, but it's not open. So I thought, well, I'll go over here to, I used to call it Beals, but I found out it's Bell's, and I'll go over to Bell's and see what they have, and I rarely find anything I want there either, but when I got done at Bell's, I looked over there and I saw somebody. I thought it was a woman in front of the store, and I thought, well, there's somebody else waiting for them to open. I'll go back, or maybe they're opening it. I don't know. So I go over there, and actually it was a guy, but a very slight fellow. So from a distance, I thought he was a girl. And I said, I wonder why they're not open. He says, well, actually, I can tell you why they're not open, because I'm the one that accidentally locked the keys in there. And I left my cell phone in there, too, so I couldn't call for help. And he said, I had to go to this other store. I think maybe it was the dollar store. And ask them to call this other person that works here to come down and open the store again. And I said, he says, I'm really sorry. I said, oh, no big deal. We all make mistakes or something like that. And he goes, so anyway, we chatted until it was open, and he helped me in there looking around. And when I left, he says, thanks so much for being nice about it when I locked my keys in there. I said, ah, that's okay. Anyway, somewhere along the way, I don't know if it was that day or a different day, I was down there. I asked him if he liked to read. And he goes, oh, yeah, I like to read. And I said, I have a book that I have read many, many times that has done more for me in changing my view of God and of religion and everything than any other book, and that's The Desire of Ages. And I'd love to give you a copy of it. And he says, all right, I'll read it. So I gave him a copy of it, and he says, next time you come in, you ask me if I read it. And I said, okay. So the next time I came in, I said, have you read it? He says, well, no, not yet. I forget what his reason was. He had some reasons why he hadn't read it. And I kind of decided that maybe it wasn't a good idea for me to keep asking him whenever I came in there if he's read it. But then I haven't been in there for months and months and months. And I just went down there again recently. And, I mean, I probably haven't been in there for a year. I don't know. And he saw me right away, and he remembered me. And he's like, I haven't seen you forever. And I said, well, I haven't been in for a long time. And I didn't ask if he read it, and he didn't tell me he did. But anyhow, I just pray for that man every day on my list of people I pray for, and I hope someday he will read it, and I figure he'll tell me when he does, and I'll probably see the difference when he does. Anyway, thank you.
So little opportunities, you know? It's a blessing to get locked outside of the store with somebody else. Actually get an opportunity to talk. So, okay, well, we probably have, well, we've got 1 minute. Is that how it works? We can have time for another testimony if somebody would be interested in coming up and telling how God has worked in your life. Short story. Anybody brave? Carlene was brave. Oh, okay. Paula.
It always strengthens my faith when I see God at work in my life or in the life of somebody around me. And the last several weeks, a number of us have been really busy scouring for names and addresses of former students of Hermiston Junior Academy, former students and teachers and friends. And just a little plug in. About 6 weeks from now, on May 4, we are celebrating, a little belatedly, Hermiston Junior Academy's 75th anniversary, 75th birthday, and trying to bring in as many as we can, former students, faculty, and friends of HJA for a wonderful reunion and Christian Education Sabbath. Anyway, a lot of planning goes into such events, and I've been one that has been helping to gather names and addresses, and it's just been so heartwarming to me to have so many people interested in the project, thinking of names, and when I go to the social event a couple weeks ago, the banquet, several people just happened to be there that I hadn't seen for many years that were former students here. I was able to get their addresses. And I just feel that God is really leading in this project. Our hope very much is that many former students who have perhaps lost their way through the years might be inclined to come back to HJA for this once-in-a-lifetime homecoming, and that their hearts might be touched, and they might want to come home to God as well. And I just, as I send out the postcards this week, we sent out about 215 postcards. We have a number more yet to send out if I can find more addresses. So if any of you think of a former faculty or student that you think may not be on our list, love to have more names and addresses. But as I mailed these postcards this week, I prayed over them that somehow hearts would be touched and people would come. We're hoping to have hundreds of people come that Sabbath. And I just hope that each one of us can pray and do our part to make it a real spiritual outreach, that many lives can be changed and we can see God at work. Thank you.
This is an opportunity for people who have not been in church. You know, we think about doing outreach. Doing outreach sometimes is reaching people who don't know anything about us. Other times it's reaching people who were once here. I mean, maybe as children. But I think it's important for us to reach everyone. And we shouldn't neglect one group over the other. And so we should pray with Paula that God would open doors, bring many people back, and that we should pray for the preacher. Is that May 2nd, I think it is? 4th, okay. It's the first week in May, May 4th. Pray for the preacher. It's not going to be me, but that's okay. We can still pray for him. That whatever he says will make a difference on the hearts of those people that come, you know. Yeah, Andy's son. Yeah, he's going to be doing the speaking that Sabbath. But, you know, there's opportunities, and I think we should figure out ways, with God's help, how to draw people to our church, be it people who have come to HJA before or people who have never attended our church. And we should just ask God for wisdom to brainstorm, not only to connect with people here, but to connect with people who cut our hair. Conrad's not listening, but that's okay. You know, connect with people in different places around town because we are the light. You know the rest of that? The light of the world. We should say it, the light of Hermiston. And so we need to be, let our light shine. Isn't there a little song like that? I don't know it that well, but anyways, I think we've had an opportunity. But I'm going to be doing these testimony Sabbaths once a quarter, to give people an opportunity to tell how God has worked in their life. And so I would like to encourage you to think about stories, think about experiences that you could tell. And if you plan a little bit ahead, then coming up isn't so scary. And just telling us, because it's a blessing. How many have gotten a blessing out of all these little stories that different people have? Okay? And so this is a blessing because sometimes you know nothing about what's going on in somebody else's life until they tell you. And you say, oh, you know, I didn't realize that, or oh, I didn't realize this. So let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the stories that you give to each one of us. We thank you for the experiences that you've given us. We just pray, Lord, that you would use each one of us as a missionary. Help us to be missionaries here in Hermiston, wherever we go. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us, help us to be brave, to speak up, help us to be open to connecting with other people, help us to be willing to put up with things that are not as pleasant as we'd like in order to reach somebody. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be the kind of missionaries that would endure to the end to reach others for Christ. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.